How we doing, everyone? Welcome to the November 8th version of the Zuch and Wild podcast. We got a great show for you guys talking about the college football playoff rankings that just dropped. Get a little bit into the Penn State Ohio State reaction game. Have some great tweets to review on the list. You know, it being election week and college football playoff ranking. Let's just say there were some things, so we'll show you guys those funny tweets as well as previewing the games for this week. We got some great games tomorrow, some huge SEC matchups, Ole Miss versus Georgia and LSU versus Bama. We'll be covering all of that, Zuch. As always, before we get into this, make sure you check out the Settle Down store. Use code ZNW15 for 15% off all your Settle Down merch. I have my Settle Down t-shirt and I wore it on Sunday. It's a great shirt to lounge around in, great shirt to work out in. It's got our logo on it. Or you get some Zuch and Wild merch. Wore it at the Cal game that we will not speak of when they absolutely blew the game to Miami. But Zuch, enough with Cal because they are nowhere near the playoff rankings. I just want to get your initial kind of like reaction, like to the show, what you were thinking when ESPN dropped these rankings.
I really didn't have too many like problems with it. We did, I guess it was Saturday, kind of towards the end of that Clemson game. We kind of came up with our own list of who we thought is like basically still alive for the playoff. I mean, I guess we didn't include like some of the like a little bit more random that like chaos would have to ensue for them to be in the playoff. Like, I'm trying to think of someone who would like.
No, I think you're right. Everything is kind of like set. There's a group of about, you know, I mean, you look at that top 25, kind of like I would start it at, you know, kind of Colorado down, I think, is people who have, I mean, Colorado down, and you have to take out Pitt because they just, no. Just, sorry, Pitt, no. Fat Narduzzi, no.
There's quite a few teams, not quite a few, but, and we'll talk about some of the games later, but when it comes to the Big 12 and the ACC, unless you have one loss or no losses, your at-large hopes are very, very slim at this point. There's only 3 weeks left in the season, basically.
No,
so,
and I'm looking at these rankings, Zuch, and it's, you know, for the Big 12 and specifically, you know, they had BYU at number 4, but they're ranked number 8 in the poll. But because of the way that the playoff is set up, obviously the champion gets the auto bid into the top 4. And, you know, I look at BYU, the only way I can see a Big 12 get 2 bids is if BYU loses in the Big 12 championship game. And we alluded to it last week, but no, I wish we had a better reaction. I feel like we had a better reaction to the terrible AP poll that was right before this. But honestly, this is why, and I might be preaching to the choir a little bit here, but this is why always take every ranking with a grain of salt until this one drops. Yeah, because whether exactly. We like it or not, these people's job is to actually watch the games. The agendas are much, much more minimal than the AP and the coaches and the USA Today and the ESPN, FPI, and even the state power rankings. But I really have no problem with this ranking. I mean, a couple minor tweaks, but no true complaints.
No, and like we said, it always works itself out. It almost, I mean, I guess the one case would be real case. I mean, I know there's been other teams that's like, oh, we should have been the 4, you should have been the 5, whatever. Florida State, in recent memory, is the only team who had a real, like, hey, we legitimately went undefeated in a Power 4 conference at the time, Power 5, we should be in the playoff. That's still, to me, fair, even though they've legitimately, I don't think, they've won one game since then.
Yeah, the curse of Danny Cannell will live on.
So I didn't mind the rankings at all. I think it kind of went along with our point that you're going to probably have, I mean, Notre Dame could change that a little bit, but the Big Ten or the SEC is going to have 4 teams in, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe both of them. I mean,
I
If Notre
100%
Dame
agree.
loses again, they're not going, I don't think, at this point. They're not.
I think you're looking at two bit potential bid stealers right now. Or I guess three. Because if Notre Dame drops another game, they're probably cooked by the way that things are looking. You have SMU who's sitting there. If SMU kind of holds on, somehow wins the ACC, there's no way that the committee doesn't let a one-loss Miami team in.
Yeah.
So two ACCs. The same thing I feel can happen with BYU if BYU runs the table. And I feel like those are the only two bid stealers. I know a lot of Washington State fans feel like, oh, we have a chance. There'd be a lot. I think that would be the chaos school, Washington State. Because I would have
Yeah, and
even Washington State, and then I would say Army as well. The problem with Army is that they are fighting an uphill battle where they neither Army or Washington State control their own destiny, whether they want to admit it or not.
right, and I think we're on the same page, but I'll make sure. Are you like, I don't consider like 10 and 2 like Texas A&M a bid stealer. I think it's like pretty well known that like 10 and 2 A&M is in the like is a playoff team. So I think we're on the same page there of
Yeah,
like
I
just to clarify for people
ten
like
and two.
what we
Yeah,
mean by
I
bid
no,
stealers
I 100%
is
agree.
non-10 win SEC or Big Ten
No,
teams.
yeah, I 100% agree. It's, with the SEC and A&M, it's, they could be a playoff team, but unfortunately for them, there's a lot of other really, really good teams. There's one thing I did find interesting, and it's where they ranked Indiana and BYU. And there is a silent minority right now who, a lot of hype's going to Indiana. And I love Indiana. If this is a playoff ranking, usually how the College Football Playoff Committee in the past at least has done it, it's what you put out on paper. It's not really a lot of eye tests. We saw that with TCU, I guess they went back on that with Florida State, but BYU has two ranked wins. Indiana has zero. And Indiana, if they get blown out by Ohio State, there might be a lot of people going, why even let these guys in? Even with one loss. I'm not saying it's fair or not fair, but if that happens, that will be a discussion.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it kind of should be because, like, if you I pulled up their schedule, and let me just do some like little quick looking at it. I mean, they don't even have a win over a team yet that has 7 wins, I don't think. Like Maryland, no. Northwestern, no. Nebraska, no. Washington, no. Michigan State, no. They play Michigan this week. I'm not even going to look at FIU and Western Illinois or Charlotte. So they have like they were one of the teams that kind of like the difference between them, like if they're 11-1, and let's say the final spot, let me go back to the rankings.
There's a
Let's
ten and
say the
two
final
A&M.
spot.
That's a great comp
Yeah,
right
like
there.
that would mean A&M has beaten LSU, has beaten, they would have beaten Texas at that point. They lost to Notre Dame and they lost to South Carolina.
And let's say that there's three other, what, Georgia for the scenario, it'd have to be Georgia. It'd be Georgia, Ole Miss, and Tennessee would be your other schools kind of in that like lock position. And
Yeah.
A&M would kind of be like on the border.
Right. So it's anyone not being biased, I think, would look at that and be like, all right, yeah, Indiana's 11-1, but they're not, I don't know. Like, I don't
It's
know.
tough to say it.
I think most people would look at 11-1 Indiana and 10-2 Texas A&M and say A&M is probably a little bit more
Well, I mean,
deserving.
especially if you take into account for A&M, a school like A&M, to get those to finish the year with two losses, they would have a great win total. They would have some big time
Yeah.
wins against some big time programs. And one of their losses would be to what, Notre Dame and South Carolina, who, South Carolina I mean, you stick South Carolina in the Big 12. I mean, what are they? I mean, look, I love the Big 12. I listen to it. I love watching Big 12 football. You stick South Carolina in the Big 12, and they're probably up there with Ohio, Iowa State and BYU right now.
South Carolina and really should, I mean, South Carolina should be in about the same spot Ole Miss and A&M are right now with two losses. They blew that to
That LSU game is
LSU.
kills them, absolutely kills them. And I don't know. I don't know what else to say. I really like the rankings. I'm solid. Boise State is sitting there. I'll let you have your Homer moment before we move on. I guess us. How would you feel about a potential matchup with Ohio State, Boise State?
I mean, if they beat Ohio State and then just got absolutely murdered in the next round, I would like still be the happiest person on the planet.
Even if that next round was BYU.
That would suck, but just
I would be happy, but maybe not happiest person on the planet. But I would still be like, that was awesome.
it
If
would suck seeing BYU go to the Final Four, but we need someone to beat BYU. At
we
this
need
point,
someone
we're
to beat
running out of
BYU.
options. We
Maybe turn
need.
to a state. A fellow Rocky Mountain State, Coach Prime, show him
We
the
need that
shadur.
blue wall to fall, as some would say.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, I know Provo. Yeah, they're going. Look, they're balling out. Also, they're a good squad. They have a good squad this year. And I will say, this is just a side BYU note. Heck of a job by Satake this year as the coach. That guy's seat was hotter than a boiling kettle, and he essentially has
He is
bought himself like
Mormon
five more
Mike
years.
Gundy. Yeah, Mormon Mike Gundy. Like 11-1, 7-6, 5-7. Oh, now we're 10-0 again for no
Yeah,
reason.
it's like every down year, and then it's like, oh my gosh, the year we have Zach Wilson, it's like, yeah, and you lose to like Coastal Carolina and you don't even make a bowl game, or like you don't even make a big bowl game.
It's
All right. That's funny, but yeah, we'll continue to react of the playoff rankings throughout these drops, if anything crazy happens, if anything big upsets. But first, we're going to talk, before we get into anything else, we have to talk about the main game of last weekend. Kind of a weird slate, not the best, and no late slate, no late game. So this was a game that I was really, really locked in on. The whole country was locked in on. In fact, so locked in on Big Noon Kickoff and ESPN College Game Day were in Happy Valley at the same time. This was Ohio State, Penn State. Just your thoughts, Zush. I don't even know where to start. Like, do we start like Ryan Day gets the monkey off his back a little bit, or it's just like James
I don't
Franklin?
think.
Do we start with the Jason Kelce incident? Do we start with the what seemed to be a caricature of an Italian American yelling at James Franklin after the game? Like, where do we start?
Was just the what we see. I and I've said it before, I don't get the James Franklin hype. He has been fine at Penn State. I don't know that you would necessarily get an upgrade, but I don't think anybody could come in there and really do worse either. Like, you go
No,
10 and 2 and lose to every good team you play. Every like they are basically what like Indiana's probably going to be this year. Indiana's probably going to be 11-1 or 10-2 and lose to both the really good teams they play, and that's what and it's every year the same thing. We said it last week. When Penn State has a bad day on offense, it means they score like 10 points. They didn't
No, you
score an
called
offensive
that.
touchdown last week.
It was bad, and that's a game
It's
that. It's a game. Ohio State played well, but they had some moments. You had a couple Will Howard boneheaded mistakes. Like, he made the Will Howard boneheaded mistakes that cost him the game versus Oregon. Oregon's the number one team in the country for a reason, because they were able to capitalize on that. Penn State's kicking themselves in the foot because, oh my gosh, you're up 10 nothing in the first half. And then when Ohio State seems to put the game away, he fumbles through the end zone and you get saved. But
Right.
like it seems to happen time and time again. And you know, I was listening to a couple podcasts, and I think this might be true. And it's sad if you're a Penn State fan. You know, the whole talk this week was James Franklin beating Ohio State, finally winning the big one. I don't think Ohio State views Penn State as the big one. it's a big one, but like there's levels to this, and it stinks because Penn State's got the national championships, and they have the 100,000 person stadium, and you know they have essentially all the resources in the world, like but we just don't see it because they play in like a small tiny college town. James Franklin, we keep lowering the bar for Penn State, and he keeps only meeting the bar. It doesn't matter
Yeah.
how high, how low. It seems like he's always at the bar.
I mean, it has like the when was the last time I even beat Ohio State? Like 9 years ago, like his
Yeah,
second or third
2016.
year.
2016.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's the same thing every single year. I get the point of view of you can't fire him because is anyone else going to do better? You know, I mean, you don't know. Like, someone could also do worse, but then you just like you know what
It
this
seems with
is. So,
Penn State, there's
how many
always a
years in a row
lack.
are you gonna?
Go for it, because I'm also
Well,
just like I hate Penn State, but it's like it doesn't make sense why they're not better.
no, and it's not how the like I would almost understand. If this was like South Carolina, I'd be like, oh, like no, don't fire him. Like that is probably like about your the level which you can reach is like you might beat Ohio State every once in a while, but that's the thing is he's not even beating Ohio State every once in a while. If you beat them, he's on track to do it like 2 times in 20 years. That's not beating them every once in a while. He wasn't beating Michigan when they got going. He just like for what he gets paid, they should be doing a lot
For
better.
what he gets
And you should
paid,
have
for
more
what the
than
re
one Big Ten championship.
No, yeah, and for what he gets paid and for what the recruits he has, and you know, I mean, you just look at that goal line stand, it's kind of a cataclysm of James Franklin experience at Penn State. It's like it's so good, but then you just lose creativity and the explosiveness they have on defense. They just seem to lack on offense. And I tried to be positive with Drew Aller at the beginning of the year. This is why, and I don't want to sound too harsh because, you know, people can get better at football, you know, that's why they get coached and stuff. This is why people need to take high school rankings with a grain of salt. Because
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know what it is. There is no chance Drew Aller was a five star coming out of high school. And people who said that when people just see the stars, people have to look past the stars when they want to evaluate talent. Because Drew Aller is not playing up to his potential, what he was labeled coming out of high school. And even what he
No, and
showed
I
his
think
freshman
part of
year.
that is when you have these five-star receivers and stuff. On these high school teams, they are so much better than everybody else on the field that that's how a lot of these five-star quarterbacks get labeled a five. I mean, how many have we seen over the past even 5 years? And like it then just happened to Penn State. Like Tate Martell was at Ohio State. He was horrible. He was not good. It happened. I mean, if you like, I don't even know. We can do it on a different like day, but like I'll just look up one real
Max
quick.
Wegman is another one. Max Wegman, five star.
Like, if I'll just go to
Or Connor Wegman.
2022,
Connor Wegman.
because that's, yeah, and like it just happens all the time. And I really think it's like this is a Drew Aller class. Drew Aller, five star. Cade Klubnik, five star. Connor Wigman, five star. Ty Simpson, five star. Devin Brown,
Bruh.
five star. Walker
Devin
Howard.
Brown. Walker
Like
Howard. Oh
Gunnar
my
Stockton
God.
is a four star, but Malik Murphy is a four. So it's
Malik
a
Murphy's
like
probably like,
none.
that's like the first one that's like, okay, maybe. But even him is like,
Yeah. And like Walker Howard's probably not even going to start next year at Ole Miss. Austin Simmons probably is. So like the top 10, like Brady Allen, like none of these guys. I got half these guys I haven't even heard of. And I think it's because your skill position players are so good that you just benefit like so immensely from it that it's Like, I wonder who the receivers are, and then we can move on.
Well, just, I mean, you can find out just by the high schools that they went to. If they're going to a top prep school.
Yeah, that's school. You're just surrounded by talent. Like, and he was a number three ranked national prospect, Drew Aller, and he just hasn't been the guy. And there's nothing showing that, like, next year he will be the guy. And maybe that's part of, like, an offensive thing at Penn State, because no quarterback has, but they had, I can't even think of the one guy's name that was like supposed to save the program a while back. And he, I wish I could think of that quarterback's name.
Sean Clifford?
I can't think of it.
Sean Clifford?
No. What's that guy's name? Christian Hackenberg.
Oh, my. He was at least solid, though, in college. Like, he, if Drew Aller played like Christian Hackenberg, they probably win that game. Like, Hackenberg got, like, drafted. I thought Hackenberg was better than Drew Aller. But, you know, moving on to the Ohio State side, they look solid. I mean, this is a team, you know, Ryan Day, say what you will, it's another gritty team. That defense is good. That, I mean, they have their moments of, like, brain farts, it seems. But that defense is good. That offense is still explosive. It's just, yes, sometimes they, Will Howard just makes stupid decisions. He has stupid idiot plays, is what I would say. It's like, the whole game I watch it. Game. No, it will. And I mean, unless he fixes it, which I'm sure he can, the talented players on that Ohio State roster can mask it. But it's like, I'm watching him. I'm like, hey, this guy's pretty solid. Like, oh my gosh, this guy might be elite. And the midway through me saying elite, he just makes one of the most like frosh football turnovers you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah, it's, I think Oregon might be looking their chops for that Big Ten championship game. I know that first game was close, but that was kind of a launching pad for Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems, as they would say.
So it seems Dan Lanning still is a guy who's kind of moving on, but it's interesting. Like Ryan Day, he gets beat down by the media so much, and I beat him down because it's fun, because sometimes he deserves it with the talent he has, a $20 million roster. But we'll see. Ohio State, this is a win they had to have. They have it. They are still in driver's seat to control their own destiny to get the one seed. They just got Indiana. Like, I don't know who they have next, but you don't want to look ahead of who you have next. But that's the next big one, is Indiana. So that's a game that I'm going to be really, really excited for.
Kurt Singani. He's starting to tread the waters of like, whoa, maybe we don't want him to win that game if you're Indiana, because he might be out the door after 1 year.
I don't think he's an out the door after 1 year guy. He stayed at JMU for a couple years when they were doing good.
He did.
He seems like the Barry Bonds. You know, you go to the Pirates and you play your rookie contract out, and then you go, okay, I'm out of here.
Yeah, he also might. Let me look at his. I don't know too much about him, like, personally, but he also kind of seems like, where's he from? He kind of seems like he might be an NFL guy eventually. Like, I could see him as.
Yeah, no. He is, because he's not like one of these weird rah-rah guys. He doesn't seem like, if you look at the way he evaluates talent, it is a very analytical. Like, he's,
yeah,
he said he's more, it's a what, production over potential. That's his like big thing, is like he doesn't care, like, if you're productive and it meets his what he wants, he'll take you. But yeah, James Franklin can't win is what I will call him.
What they've been calling him.
Yeah. What some people have. Anything else on the weekend? It was kind of an iffy weekend. I mean, you had Pitt pooping the bed, so Fat Narduzzi can get out of there. And Dabo, Clemson. If this isn't the game that, like, if you're Dabo, just, like, someone at Clemson needs to go to Dabo and be like, hey, man, like, no one's going to, like, think you don't care about, like, old tradition if you, like, take five transfers.
You've got to do something, because you are, it's getting worse. Like, I mean, you went from like powerhouse too. Not even one in the ACC, and the ACC
now,
sucks.
Now, what some people are saying is that is Dabo just a Deshaun Watson, Trevor Lawrence merchant?
I mean,
or is he a Brent Venables merchant?
He could be. Yeah, it's a for the Dabo coaching tree. It's been a little bit tough here recently.
Yeah, like Garrett Riley and who else? There's a couple other ones, but we'll see. Yeah, it was an interesting weekend. Trying to think of, I feel like there was one other thing that happened this weekend. It was just so
A&M got kind of killed by South Carolina, but that
it was very underwhelming weekend. I felt it was very underwhelming this weekend.
Yeah, and it was weirdly paced, like you said. There's like no like late games, which was odd, but there was like a lot of meaningful, like you had the Penn State game, and Texas A&M game was meaningful. But like we're getting into like the most meaningful 3 weeks where you really start, like this is when the playoffs really get decided, is over these next 3-ish weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, three.
We will see. We shall see. All right. That's enough of that week. Before we move on into next week's games or tomorrow's games, we will be doing our weekly segment, The List, where we bring you college football-based tweets that we do not condone nor deny. They're just, we bring it to you guys to show what the people of the college football world are saying. And now, we said last week, there's another certain event that happened this week, the election. And when you combine those two things, college football Twitter, the playoff ranking, and the election, you get some tweets. So without further ado, we shall get into it. Zuch, I can't remember. Did you go first last week?
I think so.
All right, then I will go first this week. All right, so my first tweet comes from @cheapy13. And this is not even college. Actually, no, that's the wrong one. My first tweet comes from not everything can be shared on this show, I will say. So we will not be reading that. The first one comes from @HughJanusMBA. And it's a quote tweet of Tim Walz. And Tim Walz tweeted, "Huddle up, team. It's the final quarter. We got the ball driving down the field and we're down. Boy, do we have the team to win this." Hugh Janus then quote tweets the very famous play of the Ohio State kicker missing the kick in the Peach Bowl versus Georgia to lose when he shanked it about 20 yards left. List. Number two comes from @JeffreyTumser. And someone photoshopped Kamala Harris's face in between Arch Manning and Quinn Ewers when they were down 20-0 versus Georgia after they both got in. Well played. Another well played one. This one comes from Zuch. You need to control your people. This is from @SqueezedReb. And he goes, "Beat Georgia, hashtag hotty toddy." And then he's holding up a game day pin. And it's a picture of Mr. Trump, Donald Trump. And it says, "Rebels, they are eating the dogs." Insinuating the Georgia Bulldogs game that will be happening tomorrow again needs to stop. But without a doubt, the worst one I saw was from @QB1Tattoo. And now this was a video edit, and it looks like it comes from TikTok account @WyattVoz. And it's Tim Walz, and it's the same thing where he's just talking, and he goes, "And look, I like Tim Walz. I'd love to have a beer with him. Football guy through and through. But once you talk football, you will get the edits." He's talking ball. He goes, "We got the ball, and we're ready to run it right up the middle in this election." Right after he says that, it cuts to the clip of Jadeveon Clowney absolutely smoking the guy on Michigan in the Outback Bowl. So it was some great tweets we saw out there. Those were the ones that I felt were the best, the most funny that I can share. Zuch, hopefully you have some more great ones to add.
Well, my first one, and it comes from our friends down on the plains at Auburn. And Brian Harshen tweeted, "Congrats, President Trump. Let's be great for our country." And Joe Schmo, who is I Tweet at Sports, said, It sucks Roe versus Wade got overturned before they could abort your recruiting plan at Auburn.
This is, we've said, what, every other week that these Auburn fans have just been on a tear on Twitter.
Yes.
These guys, Lord help them if they ever get good again, because this is just not productive, anything they say.
We also had Nick Perkins, who I'm not even sure who he is a fan of. Oh, U of A alum. So I'm guessing. Oh, nope.
Either
It's Alabama
Alabama.
because Nick Saban is his header. He tweeted Biden joining the Republicans in the victory party, and it's at the end of an Oregon Michigan State game where this one Michigan State player gets in a photo with like 12 Oregon guys.
That's funny. I also saw that one.
I had a couple more. Pawpaw Murdaugh, LSU fan. We have had some discussions with Ryan Uros, our resident LSU fan, and he said, "I voted Trump solely to get Diego Pavia deported."
Yes, that was the best one. I voted for Trump to get Diego Pavia deported. The state of
Bad.
Alabama, yes, he needs to stop.
Not a great one.
Also, you need to have your account banned if your server's username is at Pawpaw Murdaugh. And I guarantee you, is his screen header one of the Murdaugh family members?
I gotta go back to it and see. Give me one sec. And then I unfortunately have to put Ole Miss on the list once again. The Ole Miss Muse tweeted, "Would you rather vote for Kamala or Hitler?" And
Again,
it's Twitter full.
Zooch, this is you called it a couple weeks ago, and Georgia versus Ole Miss. I mean, that's the next game we're going to talk about, but that combined with the election, you called it. The people down there in Oxford were going to be riled this week and locked in.
And the last one, oh, I know I sent this one to you guys because I was laughing. I can't find this one now, but it was a picture of the Electoral College map, and it was later in the night. Like they had called Georgia, obviously they called Alabama. Basically, they had called every state that has a team in the SEC for Donald Trump, and it just said, "Should we start the chant?" Implying the SEC chant. So, and there's a couple that have been just deleted because I think they like woke up and were like, "All right, this could come back to me one day that
You know,
I."
like we, and you know, like we said, there are some tweets. You know, if you ever see us out in person and you are wondering, hey, like, you guys, how many tweets do you guys find a week for this? Dozens. And we have to narrow it down, not to just the most funny, but the ones that are acceptable and we feel proud putting out on the internet forever. Because let's just say there are some that come up in the algorithm. Thanks, Elon, for screwing that up. But let's just say, now, sometimes I do laugh, but not suitable for work at all.
One more, and I don't even know if this is real or not, but it's from at Fat Pat, and it says Ole Miss defensive line against Arkansas right now, and it's just a dude on the back of a Jeep with a machine gun just mowing
Yes,
down
that was
pigs.
the best one of the week. The Texas Hawk Hunt.
That one was in the middle of Ole Miss had like 7 or 8 sacks, I think, against Arkansas. The offensive line was not prepared for Ole Miss's defensive line. But yeah, that game was at 10 a.m. on Saturday, so that's kind of when it started, and it did not stop.
That was the best one that came out of Saturday. A lot of the ones we just read coming out of the election, but that was definitely the best Saturday tweet. But let's move on to the games that are on tomorrow. We're going to start off with Zooch, your team, the Ole Miss Rebels. Almost said the Run Rebels, like UNLV, not UNLV, but the Ole Miss Rebs versus Georgia. This is going to be in the Vought, or is it Voight? I don't know how to pronounce it, but Vought, it's going to be popping this game. This is a Put up or shut up for Ole Miss?
Yeah, I mean, it's the game of Lane Kiffin's career right here so far. I'm sure I'll have bigger ones, but yeah, I mean, you win this one and you're probably going to be in the, I mean, just looking at who's in front of you, you're probably going to be close to that top 12. Like, it's just how it is. You beat Georgia because Alabama and LSU, we'll talk about them in a minute, but one of them is going to lose. Like, we'll see what happens, you know, with
Tennessee and
Yeah, like some of these, like Tennessee has Mississippi State this week, but then Georgia the following week. So, yeah, I mean, you got to – the defensive line has looked great. It's weird because there's, like, things that I'm like, okay, Ole Miss is shrunk. Like, part of me is like Georgia has looked more vulnerable this year than times before. But also, I have been trying to ward off anyone picking Ole Miss because Kirby Smart will use that. and his propaganda ministry I do think it's going to be a really close game.
Do you think Kirby is going to show some burnerverse tweets to his team?
He could. No, like,
it's, do you think he shows a Bunky Perkins or Rebel Muse tweet?
He's going to do whatever he can to get those guys fired up for the game. It is going to be interesting because, and I didn't, like, I knew the defensive line would be really good this year just based on who transferred in and who was already there. But Carson Beck has really struggled when he gets pressured this year. I mean, mm-hmm. we've seen it in a few games now. Where he just throws interceptions that he probably shouldn't be throwing. And I mean, Texas's defensive line is pretty good, but I think Ole Miss probably has the best D line in the country.
I have that in my notes. It's just the matchup of the game is, can that Ole Miss defensive line pressure Beck and make him look like the Carson Beck that's shown up in a couple of these games? That's just slow, seems to be missing stuff. And on the flip side, for Ole Miss quarterback Jackson Dart, you got to step up. Come up and step up, and not just step up and play well. You've seen you play well in some losses against big schools. You got to play well and you got to win. I know you'll say football is a team sport, but the quarterback, unfortunately, is a solo player in the team sport, and you got to be able to roll your team to victory tomorrow.
Yeah, and this is what they said they all came back for. So you win this one, you get Florida and Mississippi State. You're probably 10-2. I personally think. Highly doubt that the playoff doesn't put a 10-2 SEC team whose losses are to South Carolina and Kentucky and has wins over – or sorry, losses are to LSU and Kentucky and has wins over South Carolina and Georgia. I highly doubt that team is not in the playoffs, even if it is like a
– unless there's a Big 12 or ACC bid stealer.
Yeah, and then at that – but and like there's so much other stuff that has to play out, like – Georgia and Tennessee still play. This is an elimination game for Ole Miss, just like which is why I was saying earlier, like this is when the playoffs really get finalized, just like the Alabama LSU, like the loser of that game isn't going to the playoff. The winner probably is at the end of the day. Like they just are. So I just think it's going to be really close. I'm not going to give a prediction because I really don't. No, I don't see it being like last year that was like 52-14. I don't see that happening again, but I did laugh too. Lane Kiffin like released like his midweek injury report and there's like 30 people on it.
Oh, he just doesn't want to give any information out.
He had Jordan Watkins as doubtful and he had like 258 receiving yards the other day. I think Jordan Watkins will probably end up playing. So yeah, this was like That's you funny. Win this no. and almost unless you lost to Florida or Mississippi, I mean, I really don't see them losing to Mississippi State. Florida's looked a little bit better here recently,
but
you win this one and like then people are really good. you become the
No, it's an oh shit, like this is, and it really makes that SEC race interesting because then Georgia's got, what, two losses?
Yeah.
And then that's like, oh crap, but then you're looking at Georgia's, like their two losses are Ole Miss. It would just, this win right here would catapult the chaos.
It would catapult the chaos, and you would be feeling pretty good if you like basically said, okay, since October, they lost to Kentucky at the end of September. So if you told any team in America, all right, from October on, you're going to finish 6-1, beat Georgia, and your one loss is going to be in overtime to LSU in Death Valley. You'd be like, all right, like I feel pretty confident that we have a pretty good team. Probably going to be, unless you started like 0-3 or whatever in the playoff. And for Georgia, if you lose this one, then you like really like, because I still don't like really know about this Georgia. Like they have the win over Texas, the win over Clemson, but the offense hasn't looked fantastic really at all this year. There's not no, a, and, I mean, it looked really good Bama in the second loss, half.
You know, in the next game that we talk about, like, Bama loses to LSU, like that Bama loss doesn't look as good as it did. You know, it's
right.
And we start going and we start pulling hairs for the SEC. And this is not a year where you can pull hairs because so many teams have a chance. There's, you know, 12 is more than four, but everyone wants a piece of the pie.
Yeah. And they're honest to God could be, I mean, if you like 1, 2, 3, 4, there's going to probably be at least four SEC teams that, and it'll work itself out a little more, probably.
I think the SEC guarantee has four teams. It's just a matter of whether you get the fifth or not.
Yeah, and I think that – I don't know that one of them's going to – I think it'll work out to where the quote-unquote team that gets left out probably has three losses. You know, it could be I'm almost willing to say it could be whoever loses the SEC championship might end up being the team who gets left out. Cause at this point, unless it's Georgia or, unless one of the one loss teams,
they couldn't penalize a team for playing in the SEC championship.
Well, so do you think then that if
a two loss team gets left out,
what about LSU? So you think a three loss LSU, if like LSU won out, and they lost to Texas, for example, in the SEC championship. You think three-loss LSU would get in over, like, 10-2 Tennessee?
Yep, and it pissed a lot of people off, because then you would de-incentivize teams to play in the
championship. That's fair. Like, I could see that. So
I think the championship can only be used as a plus. Unless you are comparing the runner up of one conference to the runner up of another conference, then you can be like, oh, like they had a runner up, but like this other conference looked better. But within conference, no, I think I'd take that three loss team.
It's completely fair. And with this game, I mean, Georgia has Tennessee and then UMass and the winner of this game, I think basically clinches a playoff spot. Like we'll see with Florida.
That's big.
Well, with Georgia, they have like if Georgia wins this game and then they lose to Tennessee, and Georgia's losses are Tennessee and Alabama. Like the Tennessee is going to be in the top seven at least when they play Georgia. Mm-hmm. Alabama, even if they lose to LSU, is going to be in the top 20. That Georgia team's making it at 10-2. Ole Miss, unless they like, I really don't think they're going to lose to Mississippi State, so I'm not going to count that one. And unless they lost to Florida, I think based on how selection has gone in the past, a 10-2 SEC team is pretty much assured a spot, especially if you beat Georgia, because You're just gonna shoot up in the rankings. That's how it is, fair or not. And I get people disagree with it, but they're gonna look at it and be like, okay, they have two losses by 3 points. The Kentucky one's not good. The LSU one is a fine loss. That's like not even close to being a bad loss, especially if LSU finishes. I mean, LSU, who do they play after Alabama?
I think they have some big schools. Don't they still have A&M? No, they played A&M.
They have Vandy and Oklahoma. So, if LSU wins this game this week, or sorry, they have Florida, Vandy, Oklahoma. So, they've already had their second bye. But if LSU finishes 10-2, they're going to the SEC championship. So, they're going to look at it, I think, and be like, all right, lost to – and if LSU won the SEC championship, that would be crazy. They would be like a – they would be the, like, 3 or 4, probably. I don't know that they would – shoot up. They definitely wouldn't overtake Oregon
or Ohio State.
Probably not Miami.
Or maybe Indiana. Probably not even Indiana, I would say. Yeah. Because if Indiana is able to beat Ohio State and Oregon, which also insane if Indiana wasn't the number one team in the country. This isn't
that
basketball.
Would be crazy. So well, I'm excited for the game. It's a kind of the one you wait on all year. Like you look at it and you're like, oh, that'd be so cool to beat Georgia. Wish it was a night game, but I'm also happy with that 130 spot. I feel like a lot of times that 130 spot is more upset heavy than the night spot because you just you kind of wake up and you get
I love
you get going. You don't football. Have to wait all day long to get going. So do you have a prediction on it?
I do. I think Georgia's gonna win.
Sadness.
Yeah.
The Georgia
I think Georgia's going to win. What do I want? I want Ole Miss to win. What I see happening is another terrible Georgia offense, like another 24 to like 27 to 22 victory. And like Jackson's offense, and like you will see some like, I think you should see some, you will see like brutal vitriol towards Jackson Dart. It will be not good.
If he doesn't he can either be.
There will be comments on his hoodie. There will be comments on his eye black.
Well, there was already
it will not be good
comments last week because he like went out with a couple other players for like Halloween, and like they were like furious about it. And they went up and they put up 63 points against Arkansas. So there's a lot of positives going into it. Like they looked good in the second half against Oklahoma. Looked great last week. So we'll see.
We shall see.
I am terrified though that they're going to win this game and then lose to Florida. That is like
nightmares.
Yeah, I've been sitting heavy in my brain for weeks now.
Oh my god, so funny. But let's move on. Touch on the other SEC game. Alabama LSU. Crazy that an Alabama LSU is taking a backseat this week to Ole Miss Georgia. Just goes to show how spread out the talent is nowadays. Or just kind of like. Is it just me or I feel like both these teams, I don't know how to feel about both these teams. Like I'm not fully bought in on either one. They're both like, oh, like I just kind of look at them and I'm like, oh yeah, I guess they're all right. They have two losses. I guess they have a couple like big wins each, but it's like, I don't feel confident about either of these teams.
Though I think like the difference between these two and Georgia, Texas, even like Ole Miss to a certain extent is these two, you look at it and you're like, okay. And some of their wins, like Alabama could have lost to South Carolina, for example. LSU could have lost Ole Miss.
South Carolina.
Like you look at them and you're like, okay, like they could have, like could already have their third loss. Whereas you look at like Georgia, Ole Miss, Texas, and you're like, all right, yeah, they have their losses, but in their wins, all their wins are like, there's not a win on their schedule that you're like, oh, they could have lost that one. Really, you look at them and you're like, maybe not as much that Texas when it comes to Georgia, but you're like, oh, okay, like Georgia could have beat Alabama, freaking stupid Ole Miss legitimately didn't trail until overtime of that LSU game. Like, lost to Kentucky on the miss a field goal at the end of the game. Georgia, like, could have beat Alabama, but other than that, like, I know some people are saying, like, if DJ Lagway had played last week, Florida would have won. I don't buy that. I think that's just like talk.
Let me just say this. That is a Florida fan, and he was drunk off of Tom Petty music and was feeling himself in Jacksonville, listening to Won't Back Down. Yeah. And that's what got them.
Florida fans are getting tased. They lost their quarterback. They were also meant to put that tweet on there.
Can we talk about that? Yeah, sorry to go off Alabama LSU. Dude, that cop was absolutely wailing on that Florida fan. And he did it twice. It was two videos of the same cop with two different guys.
Did you see the one that he's like hitting him on top of the head? Somebody's like, it looks like he got him on the turnbuckle in WWE.
I did see that. Oh my goodness.
So yeah, anyway, back to my original point. I think that's the difference with the two games right now is I think not that people think Alabama and LSU are really overrated, but they kind of look at them as like, because they've had so many close games, it's like, oh, LSU lost to USC. Like, that loss isn't looking great at this point either.
It does
at the
not.
End of the day. Like, the Vandy loss, like, Vandy looks okay for Alabama. The Tennessee loss isn't bad, obviously. Tennessee's still kind of in a weird spot. They're like, Tennessee, I think, is really going to struggle with Georgia. Like, I think that off, like, whereas Ole Miss's offense is starting to kind of, like, it looks like pick up. Like, they were looking bad for a couple weeks. And I don't even think they really looked bad against LSU, to be quite frank. Like, they just went from scoring, you know, 8 million points versus the four bad out-of-conference teams they played to a little over 25 in every game but that Kentucky one. Whereas Tennessee is – and, like, Kentucky's been – like, Kentucky – Mark Stoops knows how to stop good offenses. Like, he did it the other night. Like, Kentucky was in that game for
– They do.
90% of it, so –
What I look forward to in this game is I always harp on the quarterbacks because there are so many good ones. I'm not going to use the great word, but there's a lot of good ones in the SEC. And these are two guys who just potentials off the charts. You got some people saying Nussmeier could be a first-round quarterback because of the throws that he's making. Jalen Milroe was a lot of people's preseason Heisman pick. That's kind of a little underwhelming this year, but, you know, maybe that's a product of whatever. It's just the way it goes. I really love this quarterback matchup. Death Valley. This is going to be quintessential SEC. I'm really excited. I'm going to see how DeBoer handles his first game in Death Valley when that place is rocking.
Yeah, I mean, at night, it's no joke. Like, I watched that whole Ole Miss game. Like, I still think they probably should have won that game, but I think Alabama has a chance to jump on LSU early, like a lot of teams have. Like, if you look at LSU, USC did, South Carolina did, Ole Miss did, A&M did.
Yeah.
LSU has gotten jumped on early a lot this year. And if you can keep that momentum going and not let them not hurt yourself to where they get back in the game like South Carolina did and Ole Miss did, then you should win. So that's the kind of sketchy thing though about Alabama is they've jumped on a couple teams and then kind of let them back in. So like I would not be surprised at all if Alabama went up like 14-0 in the first quarter Saturday and it's tied going into the fourth. That's just kind of how the teams have been. And I don't necessarily know at this point in the season how much of that is going to change. Like, Jalen Milroe is probably going to have a couple turnovers. And part of that's just going to be playing in Death Valley. Like, it's loud. Things get miscommunicated. I feel like as a coach, that's kind of – you know that going in. I don't think you need to freak out about it if it's super loud and you're trying to change the audible or whatever, and a receiver mishears the route or there's busted coverage, whatever could happen. But I do think Alabama's going to win this one. Kalen DeBoer has to win this game.
You don't want to get strike free. You do not want to get strike friggin' three. Do not want strike friggin' three. But yeah, last thing. My prediction, I think LSU's going to win. And I think you are going to see full Feinbaum meltdowns on Monday.
Yeah, that would be. It will be. Paul Feinbaum show will be a must. A must listen if LSU wins that game. That's all I'm going to say. A must listen.
Let's just say the legend will return. The legend will return.
He has him on speed dial.
Yeah. All right. But we're going to move on to the last segment we always do, the meme matchup of the week, where we find kind of a funny, more low-key matchup. Zuch, I went first last week. Zuch, what is your meme matchup of the week? Take us home.
So my meme matchup of the week, and it's just kind of a funny, like it, you know, they were what they're going to do with this game. And it's going to be kind of funny because one team really hasn't held up their end of the bargain. And it was one of the ones that you like looked at the beginning of the year and you're like, oh, that's like a, like we talked about with Alabama and LSU, like a playoff eliminator. It's going to be Florida State, Notre Dame, because they're going to talk about.
Mine. That was mine too.
they're going to talk about like the history and like, oh, you know.
Wait, is that our, that's our first one where it's the same all season. Last year we had like five. We're like nine.
It's a hilarious game. Like Florida State, like honest to God, might not have 100 yards of offense. Like they already can't throw the freaking ball. Like I remember I saw a tweet last week where in the first half they had like 3 passing yards against North Carolina, and North Carolina gave up 70 to James Madison. 70 to James Madison, and Florida State scored 11. Notre Dame's defense is excellent. It's the strength of their team, and that's not even debatable. Their defense has carried them all year long because Riley Leonard's been meh. But it's my main matchup. Agreed. Because it should be a really, like, and I want to say it's a night game. Maybe it's not.
4:30 game. It's the NBC 4:30 Pacific time, 5:30 Mountain time game.
Okay. So, yeah, it was, you know, kind of that, like, you look at it and you're like, all right, on the same night, we're going to, like, if just looking at this season, preseason stuff, you're like, all right, Georgia Ole Miss should be really good. I mean, that's still a really meaningful game. Even though they each have their losses, like it's still like a hugely playoff impactful game. Alabama LSU is a playoff impactful game. So, you know, they were like, oh, this is going to end up being a great week. We'll have that game. And they just haven't.
No, they haven't.
I don't know. They haven't held up, like, not only not held up the end of the bargain, have like, I am like, don't even know the last time Florida State was this bad. I don't think it's been in my lifetime, because for the first half of my life, Bobby Bowden was the head coach there. And like, it didn't end on the best note. They would have like 4 or 5 losses a year, but they weren't 1-8.
Yeah, so. No, this is really bad. Guess what the spread is?
And that,
this is the reason why I chose it, because it's huge.
What is it, like 27.5?
26.5.
26.5.
That's so bad.
They're not so bad. They
even the Nevada Boise State has a smaller spread at 24.
Yeah, I mean, that offense is just like they scored 21, 13, 12, 14, 16, 13, 16, 14, 11. They have not scored over 21 points this whole season.
Florida State made a deal with – they must have made a deal with a Seminole Shaman or something for that undefeated season last year. This is – I don't – like they – I mean, we kind of saw this playing out. If you really looked at Florida State, you go, they have a lot of guys to replace, a lot of guys to replace.
Yeah,
But
but like even
I didn't think it'd be this bad.
no, like it's not like your season high is 21 points. Like
So
that
bad.
is
So bad.
like how many points a game are they? They're averaging 14.7 points a game. That's like, I mean, that's just wild. Like,
That's junior varsity. That's
yeah.
literally junior varsity where like your quarterback physically cannot throw the ball further than 25 yards.
Yeah, and that's one that you look at and you're like, if they were 1-8 and there was a bunch of injuries, and you looked at it and you're like, okay, a ton of injuries. But in some of these games, it's been like 28-31 or 31-35, whatever it is, you'd be like, ah, I kind of get it. But if I was the AD, I would like look at that and be like, something has to change. I know you just went
I don't
undefeated
think they
until that
fire
Georgia
North.
game. No,
I
I
don't
don't
think
think
they
they'll
fire
fire him,
North.
but I think for Norvell, you have to be like, we need something differently offensively because that is
And I think you got to get rid of DJ
unacceptable.
because I know DJ had the what, the medical red shirt, or did he not medical red shirt?
I don't even know. He's throwing four
Because
touchdowns.
I think you got to get rid of him, which stinks. I mean, it stinks for him because that's a guy, last thing I'll say on this, that's a guy who never should have left Oregon State. And he's going to become the poster child of everyone talks about NIL is great, and for every single success story, I want people to remember there is a loser story. And sometimes it's not as visible as DJU, but sometimes it's the guy chasing the bag and he gets the bag, but then he never plays. Sometimes it's the guy who thinks he's going to get the bag and then ends up his only offer is at an FCS school, or the guy who doesn't get an offer in the portal has to go to JUCO. For every transfer portal success story, there is a transfer portal failure story.
Yeah, it is going to be a long off season for that program because I mean, you want to talk about a complete 180. I mean, I think they'll beat Charleston Southern.
They better.
You would hope to God that the Florida State Seminoles beat Charleston Southern. But what, let's see, let's look at Charleston. Okay, Charleston Southern is 1-8 too. So they need to.
If they lose to Charleston Southern, I actually know there was already an FSU fan that claimed he was going to do something if Florida State lost, so I will not make that same mistake.
Yeah, it's been bad in Tallahassee, but yeah, I mean, just I guess I went on and watched the games. That Utah BYU game might be interesting. It's a
Oh
rivalry
yeah.
game.
I forgot to touch on that. That could be a good one.
I mean, Utah has got to be looking forward to that one. Kind of,
That's this week? How did I
yeah,
miss
and so
that?
is Colorado Texas Tech. That should be a.
I got that one, but how did I miss the Holy War? Where's the What time did they play the Holy War?
8:15. It's
Oh
still late.
my God. Oh, that's the late game. That's gonna be a fire late game. Be watching that one
Yeah.
at the club. That's the game where it's like the crowded bar, like the thump, 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 and like you just see in like the one corner TV. It's like, oh my gosh, like Utah could win with a field goal right here.
Right. And you can just like you imagine in your head who's like calling that late night game, and you like know they're like talking about the most random, like trying to
It's
like.
like, oh my gosh, who's that one guy for ESPN who like has the glass? It'll be like Colt McCoy or something like that. It'll be like Colt McCoy, like someone. Oh, because that late game is usually who's the guy that used to call games with Bill Walton for basketball? Because that's the guy they usually stick on the ESPN late game.
What
Oh well.
is rest in peace, Bill Walton? That was like some of the best. Like it always used to be really good, and then we'll end. But it used to be college basketball, like that first day, you'd get it for like 24 hours, or maybe it was around Thanksgiving or something. And like if you had a final, like not a final, but like some test you had to do or whatever, it'd be like 2 in the morning, and you could put on like a game that's in like the Bahamas or something like that. You're like, oh, okay, like Texas Tech is playing Cal for some reason, and Hawaii and it's 3 in the morning in some random tournament. So we'll get more into college basketball in a couple months. But oh, we're in the heat of college football right now.
We are still locked in college football. But
I think it's going to be there's going to be some good games. We will have a very interesting playoff ranking if Ole Miss can win and if, like, BYU loses. Like, I think it's a thing to keep an eye on. Not that I think Boise State will lose, but I've been saying it in our group chat for a while now. They got to really start watching how much they're using Ashton Jeanty. There's no reason for him to be in games that you're up 52-10 or whatever the San Diego State score was in the fourth quarter. He looks beat up. He clearly, like, dislocated his elbow or something and has the Gronk brace.
Yes, he has the Gronk brace. So no, that's one of those ones where I think when he got hurt, where it just, like, pops out and then at the same time, and it's just sore than a motherfucker.
Yeah, like, I'll hit on that a little bit, I guess. He's not winning the Heisman Trophy. We kind of went over that a few weeks ago, how we thought that would play out with a quarterback probably getting it, and that's just how the sport is now. So,
I mean, unless he goes beast mode, 200 yards every game on
out. Yeah. So get in there. If you're Boise State, you are not only just playing for a playoff spot now, you are have a very realistic possibility of getting a 4 seed at this point. So get in there, get your win. You don't want to lose that guy, because if you lose that guy,
you're Florida State without Jordan Travis.
Right. Because your whole running back room is hurt too, which no one is. I get it. It's Boise State, so they're not going to get as much traction as, like, a Texas or something like that. But it's going to be an interesting weekend. We'll see. Like I said, I don't think BSC is going to lose to Nevada, but
crazier things have happened.
Like, a couple things, like, Jeff Choate will have the boys fired up for this game. I have a feeling we might, like, I need to send in the group chat a video.
Pre-game scuffle or something. Like, you think there's going to be some sort of altercation at midfield before the game?
I'm going to find a video of, like, Jeff Choate pre-game speech and just send it and see what Cody thinks about it. And I knew he would love that Louisiana Monroe coach. He was just, like, legitimately
assaulting a child.
He lost his mind. So, it's a good time of the season, because this is when upset, like, stuff you don't expect to happen really, really starts to happen. Like, teams will pick off somebody that you're not expecting. Like, with these first year coaches, sometimes you kind of start seeing players buy in a little more. Like, even keep an eye on that Mississippi State Tennessee game. Like, you never know. Like, Tennessee could get caught looking ahead to Georgia next week and be like, oh, Mississippi State's 2-7 or whatever their record is. Like, they suck. So, you know, we'll see. Just watch the games. You only have a few more Saturdays. You have about 3 Saturdays left of college football regular season.
And then it's championship Saturday. Yeah. Well, we appreciate everyone listening. Make sure, like, subscribe, follow YouTube channel, Instagram channel. Thank you for everyone who has been listening and watching. Like we said last week, the views are going up, so that is much appreciated, because not only do we do this for us, we do it for the people that listen. They're able to share in our loving of college football and also loving of hilarious but sometimes not hilarious tweets that we find in our algorithm. So with that being said, that was a speech impediment moment. We are still recording. We're going to leave it in. With that being said, thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Peace.